Hello and welcome to the podcast ministry of Victory Assembly. Scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We are confident that the sermon you are about to listen to will cause faith to rise from within you. Be blessed as you listen in Jesus' name.
Hosanna in the...
Don't worry.
Can we open our Bibles to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was what? Shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verily I say to you, I know you not. This morning, I have an assignment from God to find for him a woman or a man that will take a turn. And move closer into his presence. God has given me an assignment this morning to find for him just one or two persons. If he brought me all the way from Nigeria to do just that, I'm okay. But it is my prayer this morning that I will succeed in that assignment, because I don't intend to fail. This lady you are seeing standing before you loves God. I love God passionately because I know where he's brought me from. I know how many times that I've failed him. And yet, he reaches out with his arms of love to embrace me and to let me know that we can continue with this journey. I am in a marital relationship with Jesus, and there is no divorce. The reason why so many marriages have issues today is because some of us are in there one leg and one leg out. You are like, if this man doesn't treat me right, I'm going out. Or if this man doesn't treat me right, I'm stepping out. But God has called us into a relationship with him where he's put his everything, because he never intended to step back when he entered into that relationship with us. His intention was never to start what he couldn't finish with us. His intention was to make sure he takes us to the very presence of the Father. So we are on a journey. This journey does not end here. We are on a journey. This journey will end when the trumpet sounds and we stand before your God and my God. That is God's intention. So you must not be distracted by all the things that you see around you. So many times we forget that we are in this kind of a relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What am I here to do today? I am here to just remind you that you are in a relationship with Jesus. You are in a personal relationship with Jesus. And the only thing I can use to describe this relationship is the marital relationship. We all know what he said in the book of Ephesians. He said that this is a mystery. That this is, he's just trying to express or to explain the relationship between Christ and the church. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, after he created man, or before he created man rather, he didn't have that kind of a relationship with nobody. He couldn't have it with the angels. And he said to himself, for me to be God, for me to, because angels were created like robots. So whatever worship or whatever they do for God or to God, is what they are designed and crafted to do. Hallelujah. But he needed a being that will make him feel that he is really worthy of who he says he is. And therefore, the journey began to create the man. He created man, and he took a step and he said, okay, man, you are supposed to give me worship and make me God. And he discovered that, it would be complete. Man would not have an understanding of what he's trying to relate to man. And suddenly, he had to create another being called the woman, so they can have a relationship. So through their relationship, they will now know how to commune with him. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? So that they can have a picture of what it should be. The reason why so many of us are struggling in our relationship with Jesus is because we don't have a relationship with our spouse. Because we don't have the understanding of what the covenant of marriage is all about. And so you look at your husband anyhow, and then you look at your wife anyhow, and you expect to look at Jesus better? No way. The Bible says concerning a king by the name of Ahasuerus, who was a type and shadow of God himself. He had dominion. He had control and rulership over so many countries, over so many provinces. He was a king, and he was known as a king to all men. The Bible says he made a feast and invited all the rulers to come and partake of the feast. There was so much rejoicing in the land. There was so much eating and drinking, and he took his place as the king. And suddenly, he said to himself, call me Vashti. The Bible says Vashti said no. The reason why Vashti had the audacity to say no was because she didn't know who the king was. The reason why we have the audacity to say no to God is because we don't have an idea of who he is. The reason why you cannot submit to your husband is because you don't know that God has placed him there as your head. The reason why you have the audacity to ask that, you man, love me first before I submit, is because you don't know him. And the reason why you husband will say, wife, you have not submitted to me, so because of that, this, look at this in your life, look at this, because you don't know the place of the bride in the relationship between Christ and the bride. The Bible says, Vashti said no. She recognized his place as a king. She recognized the fact that he's the king. That she didn't have a relationship with him as the Lord. She didn't know him as the Lord. Her eyes of understanding have not been enlightened to see him as the Lord of her life. The Bible says concerning a woman by the name Mary Magdalene, she was caught in the very act, and she was thrust at the feet of Jesus to be condemned. And in as much as everybody was ready to stone her, Jesus Christ, the Bible says he bent down and he began to write. What was he writing? If only they can understand that this is why I came. At the beginning, we all know the story. How men fell. And how man fell. The moment man fell, the door that led to the Garden of Eden was sealed. The open door became shut. Why? Because God could not behold iniquity. But all through the years, God was looking for how he could get back into man. Thank God for the for a breakthrough. Thank God for that car. Thank God for that lifting. Thank God for whatever it is that we have that we are crying out to God for. Listen, you don't have to cry for those things. Get to know God. Touch the heart of God. And all these things will come running after you. He that has the key of David that opens and none can shut. He that shuts and none can open. He said, I know your works. Your strength is small. You know, in other words, you are not perfect yet. But I know that you have a desire to drink of me. And because of that, I have set doors open for you. The other day, we were reading the story of Paul. The Bible says that a great and a wide door, effectual door is opened unto me. For what? So I can have efficient service. So I can serve God better. So I can submit better. Is somebody understand what I'm saying this morning? So that door was sealed. And God could not commune with man anymore. The purpose and the plan of God scattered in one day. He didn't have access to man anymore. And man couldn't have access to him anymore. Now, all this thing that we are talking about, Christianity and all that, is all about us entering, accessing his presence. Let me cut the long story short. I don't have time. The Bible said, while he hung on the tree, while he was being crucified, my Bible told me that the curtain on the temple ripped in two, which signified the gates that was sealed at the beginning of time. What Jesus Christ came to do was to make sure we have access into his presence. That we have access into this relationship once more. And what did he do? He had to remove all the friction so that we can have a sweet relationship with him. The Bible says 5 virgins were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 foolish ones had enough oil to just hang around and just get ready for the marriage supper. They had just enough oil to just be called the Christian. They had just enough oil to just speak a few tongues here. Just enough oil to be called a child of God. Enough oil to go to church on Sunday morning. Enough oil to be called a bro or a sis. Just enough oil. But the wise ones, we go further. The wise ones will take advantage of the curtain that has been ripped into two. Listen, the Bible says he has made us kings and priests. Not only can you go in there right now as a priest, you can go in there as a priest, also a king and a priest. We all have equal access into his presence. No wonder the Bible says when Jesus resurrected, when he resurrected, one woman that I love so much, Mary Magdalene, somehow she has an understanding of what it means to have intercourse with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that while Martha was busy in the kitchen, was busy running around things that shouldn't be, this one will always sit at the feet of the master, because she knew that there was something different about this man. She knew that there was something different about this man. This man has given me hope and a reason to live. For so many years, I've been abused and taken for granted by all the men that I came across. For the first time, I met a man that looked down at me. And instead of pointing at the faults and the negative things in my life, all he could see was a woman that he could call my daughter. The Bible says, no wonder even Peter and John, the beloved, they were nowhere to be found. They were nowhere to be found, sweetheart. But a woman that had an encounter with Jesus, she refused to believe that this Messiah, that my Lord, he can't die. I don't understand it fully, but I know that he can't die because he's the resurrection and the life. You know why? Because something came alive when I came in touch with him. Something came alive in me. I have a desire to do better. I have a desire to go further. have a desire to know him the way I ought to know him. Him dying? No. He never told me that he was going to take me all this while and abandon me halfway. No, no, no. We are in this relationship for the long haul. The Bible says when he turned around, who did he see? Mary. If only God can find one woman here tonight. He doesn't need the crowd. Not everybody goes in there. Not everybody. The Bible says she fell down and said, "My Lord." She recognized the place of the lordship of Jesus. She said, "This is not just Jesus, this is my Lord. This is not just the King, this is my Lord and King." If you don't know him as Lord, your crown will be taken from you. If you don't know him as Lord, you will not last long in the kingdom. If you don't know him as Lord, you will not have access into the inner place, the Holy of Holies. You just dance around in the outer courts. But there's so much more for you and I. The reason why he came in the first place is not for us to stop at the outer court. It's for us to take a journey deep into the inner place. Deep into the inner place. So he said to Mary, "Don't touch me yet. I know you understand what I'm talking about. Even my disciples couldn't catch this. But somehow you have an understanding of what I'm talking about. But you know what? I did not come just for you. So don't touch me yet. Because I need to go present this body to the Lord so that I can have much more coming with us. So hold on and let me go and present myself to your God and my God. To your Lord and my Lord." The Bible says he took a journey into the inner place. And when he went there, the Bible said, hallelujah, he's worthy to open the book. Jesus himself was excited at the fact that not only will Mary come in, but so many more can come in. So he showed up to his disciples and said, "Listen, I am risen. I am now Lord." And what does it mean to be Lord? One that has authority over all things. You want him to be Lord? Get ready. It's a life of death. So many of us say, "Oh, Lord, Lord," but we don't understand the depth and the weight of that word. If you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, you must close your ears to everything around you. No wonder he appeared to Peter and he said, "Peter, what are you doing here? I thought you had an understanding." Peter had gathered the others and they went back fishing. So many of us are fishing around. Fishing around things. The Bible says, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Do you love me more than this?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest." What Jesus Christ was asking was that, do you have that intimacy with me? That agape relationship with the Father? Are you now one with the Father? He said, "Ah, Master, you know now I'm a friend." That was the interpretation of the love that he was replying. Jesus Christ said again, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. Have you come to that place of intimacy with me where I can be one with you? Do you understand what I did on the cross? I did all that so that I can take you into that place of intercourse, of intimacy with me. The door is open right now. I that have the power to close and open, I have set the door open. So you can come in and say, Master, I know you as a friend." So many of us are treating God as a friend. Your husband, thank God he's a friend, but listen, apart from that, he's also your Lord. When I preach this, women don't like it. From the day when I discovered that my husband will fight people for me. Sometimes they go report things. He doesn't even find out. All you have to do was to just report and you are guilty. Do you know, I could decide to just, you know, take advantage of that and just behave anyhow, you know, right? I sat down one day and I said, "My God, this guy loves me so much. The least I can do is to serve him." Woman, you have issues with your husband? What does it take? Just submit. What does it mean to be submissive? To just release. That's the relationship we have with Christ. Even when you don't understand, yes, my Lord. Vashti, come. Yes, my King. Vashti, come. For what? I'm not in the mood. No. I've been serving the priests and the other people. I've been busy. I should come for what? What is that? Please repeat that. I beg. You don't understand. I don't know why you are like this. I don't know why you are treating me like this. I don't know why. That is why what so many of us are doing to Jesus. We say he's our Lord. And yet, when he said, come, you say, eh? Do this. What did you say? Come, let us reason this thing out. I don't think and I don't feel. He said, but I thought I'm your Lord. Being a Lord means to have complete control, total authority. That was what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The power and the authority over all things. He came out and said, I am now Lord. The angel said to the women, he said, why are you seeking for Jesus? He's no longer here. Come and see where the Lord lay. He's no longer Jesus. He's now the Lord. Mary understood it. She understood it. She said, no wonder. I knew that my destiny is in the hands of the right man. I know that he will not abuse me like the other people. He will not abandon me like the other. Listen, some men are so, I'm sorry to say, your wife is your best partner. Some of us who have never raised a hand to fight our wives, but with our attitude. Some of us treat our wives as if they are our slaves. Men come to report your wives to you, and even before you hear out, you begin to say, I've been talking to that woman. I don't understand what you, if I can, you carry her, you go and tell people. Jesus would never do that. Your wife is not perfect. But you need to be the priest in your home. You need to take your place. You are the Jesus that she knows. You are the Jesus that she sees. And what will Jesus do? Jesus will wash her by the washing of the water, by the word. I know my wife is not this yet, but I know she's getting there. And so I will preserve and protect and nourish and cherish her. Your wife is not submissive. Love her. Just love her. Even if she's heady, go ahead, love her. I told you a story how my husband would defend me, right? He would defend me. That was from that day. A lot of people, I give God all the praise and all the glory. God sees my heart. A lot of people say, how do you do it? Your marriage is something else. And listen, it is because I see my husband as Jesus. So it is easy. But he's a man, yes. He's the head. The day you neck want to become head, now wow. And the day you neck head want to become, you become a monster. You know how? Can you imagine it? Neck here and head here. Simple. Yes, my Lord. That was the relationship Mary and Magdalene had with Jesus. No wonder Jesus could depend on her. No wonder. Where are thy accusers? They are nowhere, my Lord. For the first time. I'm looked upon differently. For the first time, I'm not being judged for being fat. For the first time, I'm not being judged as ugly. For the first time, I'm not being abused. All her life, all the men she knew, like I said earlier, were men that abused her, used her. Some men use their wives. I'm a pastor's wife, I know what I'm talking about. Women come to me, how their husbands even rape them in the church. And she can't say it. Christ will never do that. Be the priest in your home. Your wife is behaving funny. Show her by the word. By the word. They came to judge her. Jesus was just writing the word. All his intention was to take her into the inner place. Let me begin to round up. Hallelujah. To take her into that place. He knew he could take her there. He had spent like 3 years in ministry. Only one woman believed. Only one woman had an understanding. She said, if you were here, you wouldn't have died. Only one woman believed. Had the audacity to enter into that door. The Bible says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man opens and comes in, I will come in, sup with him, and he with me. One of the things that you see in a building that makes a building habitable is what? The fact that there are doors and windows. When you see a building that is covered up, you know it's a warehouse. People don't live there because they will die, right? 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 Let me paint this picture for you. When you have a house, most of you don't live on trees here. Maybe back in Africa, some of us do. You don't live on trees, okay? When you enter into a house, the first thing that you meet when you enter into a house is the living room, right? It is a general area. Everybody can come in and just, you know, play around and just be whoever they want to be. Even your enemies can come in. Your friends can come in. Everybody, your neighbors, your children. But there are certain rooms in the house, like the kitchen, it becomes restricted a little bit. And then after that, the rooms, the boys' rooms, the girls' room, and all that, you can't just come in like that and just bah and go in there. Now you have so many rooms, but there's one particular room that is so special. They call it the master's bedroom. Why don't they call it Madame's bedroom? Because there is a master in the house. No matter how much we fight it, there is a master in the house. I'm rounding up. Don't come, I'm rounding up. Hallelujah. The master's what? Bedroom. Even the people in the house, when you get there, what do? Bang, 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 bang. You can't enter anyhow, because if you enter uninvited, you're on your own. Did somebody understand what I'm saying? There is a private room called the Holy of Holies. There is a private room in your heart, called that's called the Holy of Holies. That place is reserved for intimate things. For intimate and serious issues. And he's called us into that place. That is our final destination while we are here on earth. And the only way you can get there is to die to self. Self must die. He said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. He said to Peter, listen, if you must see the glory, you must die to self. So many of us are so alive in our marriages. We are so alive in our walk with God. We question every single thing. Listen, it must be the Lord of your life. You must be ready to stretch forth your hand. He said, when you were young, you went wherever you went, whithersoever you will, but now that you will be old, go and read it. Now that because you are the one that will determine whether you are ready to go into the inner place. Now that you will be old, you will stretch forth your hand. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. We begin to lead you and take you into the places where you might not necessarily want to go, but it's for your good. This morning, God is here to take us into that inner place. Forget about whether you have this or that. All you need to do is just get in there. If you satisfy our God, there is nothing he will not give you. Women, can you wink at me? If you satisfy our God, no matter how holy he is, if you satisfy our God, there is hardly anything he will not give you. That is why an old man will bow before his teenager. It's an error. Stand up on your feet. What will you do to satisfy Jesus? A life of worship. A life of service. A life of total dedication. A life that is yielded completely and totally to him. A life that will say, it is no longer I that live, but you that liveth in me. A life that will say, I give up my father, my mother, and I unite with you. Complete surrender. Not just in words, but in action, in your thoughts, in your mind, in everything you do. Your actions, your words, and all that must be, yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I am ready to do. We need to assess that throne room. Lift up your hands and just give him a wave offering. Come and say, Lord Jesus, take me deeper. Take me into that place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead, just pray in the spirit for just 30 seconds. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I am available. I am available. I am available. I'm so sorry. For a while now, some of us have been keeping malice with Jesus, just like we do in our marriages. Some of us have just been keeping grudges, bitterness in our hearts. He said, husband, do not bitter with your wife, but love her like you love yourself. And you wife, see that you submit, just like you do unto the Lord. Everything will be given to us if only we can touch the heart of our Lord and Savior. He's our Lord. Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch every heart here this morning. Find for yourself or renew. Fill up those pots. Fill up our cups. Fill our oil. Let the box containing our oil be full to overflowing. So that when the bridegroom comes, and any day, any time, yes, Lord, will be our answer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified.
Thank you for staying through to the end of the sermon. We are always looking forward to hear from you. Please send us your praise reports or prayer requests. We want to know how this podcast has blessed you. You can call us on 0114 294 5205 or write to us at church.office@victory-assembly.org. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. God bless you.